Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I just want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world. I want to welcome our Gulf Coast audience, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Christian Television Network, WHBR. And, of course, joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, man, we're going to get right to this right off the bat. I mean, our hearts break as, you know, ISIS, this demonically held captive cloud of darkness of reportedly 12,000 men, people, have beheaded a second American journalist, Stephen Scott Skotlov. And they had taken him last year as a journalist. He's an independent journalist. And our hearts just go out to the family, and we're it's amazing the evilness in the hearts of men. This should really help us know how evil Satan is.
Yeah, it's a clear picture.
So many people are playing, you know, with God and the things of God. And then Ananias and Sapphira thought they could play with the things of God as well. But I just want to tell all the children that are listening, understand when your parents are telling you, when they're telling you that the devil's evil and you cannot play around, you cannot just have a little bit of the devil, that's what they're talking about, how evil the devil is. And the biggest thing he can do is deceive you and think that your end will not be in such a horrific way. And it's like, it's eternal suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he thinks of the image and the likeness of God in which we're created in.
Mm-hmm.
And so our hearts just go out. When I think about, the reaction of our president, we're going to be talking about a few other things. But first, you're wondering, and we've pretty much, you know, this whole journey, you heard us wonder, you know, what is going on and what's happening. But then you heard the answer. You know, we cried out for the answer. We prayed and we asked God for the answer. And with that, God gave the answer. The answer is it's just real simple tactics that have been used, you know, since the beginning of time. And it just happened to be written in a book later on by a particular man named Saul Alinsky. And he wrote it in a book called Rules for Radicals. Reportedly, our president taught it for 6 years. Our former Secretary of State and apparently presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, was mentored by Saul Alinsky, who wrote this book, which is dedicated to Lucifer. And it really is. And you can see it on the VFN torch. And she wrote her term paper on it, which is no longer sealed. It's available right now. And I have it sitting on my desk. And we're going to publish it at some point, you know, on the VFN torch. You can read it. And what it is, it's just, you know, it's men trying to find their own utopia outside of God, in the name of God. And so it's real weird how that works. It's just some other God, which there is no other God. But Jehovah God, whose son is Jesus Christ, not just the prophet for all those out there that are thinking that ISIS and Hamas and Fatah and Hezbollah and all the different factions of Sunni and Shiite. They're just, oh, think about it. It's amazing. And but Jesus separated us from all of that. That's what happened. When God tolerated those kind of things up until the point when once his son showed up, he said in Acts chapter 17, he doesn't tolerate it anymore. He expects every man everywhere to repent. So there is none of this, like, I've looked at the Old Testament, this is what happened, and this is what was going on prior to Jesus Christ. And it's like, yeah. And he said, and God tolerated some of those things up until then because there was a lot of confusion going on. But Jesus cleared that confusion up. That's why they're putting ends on the door, on the houses of Christians in Iraq. They're putting an end to represent a Nazarene, that Jesus is the one that came from Nazareth. And of all the things you could do, why put an end on the door? Because this is a real, genuine God that they're serving, and they are our enemy. This one that loved us and that was compassionate towards us and that mended us and prayed for us and helped us and laid down their life for us and hired us. And they're our enemy. No, you're the enemy of the cross. You're the enemy of God. But the fact that you put an end on their house so that they could be killed because they're Nazarenes, And it's like, my goodness, it just proves the awesomeness of God that we serve. And I thought it was pretty interesting in our previous program, if you didn't see it, just last Sunday, several believers in America, we'll be talking about from Jay Tapper's program. He interviewed somebody, I believe it was a former CIA, that's talking about, you know, ISIS is in America. But they go to the church and they find out that graffitied on the side of their buildings were words like infidel. And if you've been listening, you understand what that means. If not, you can find out more. It just means somebody who does not believe the same way that Muhammad is a prophet and that Allah is God. And that's everybody else is an infidel outside of that. And they also put their Quran verses on spray paint on the side of. We have those on. Those are actually on the torch, correct? Those, okay, so you can read. You can read those. It's important, you know. Even if you didn't ever read it, now you can read it because you can go to the VFN torch. So nobody can say you didn't read it. I mean, you don't have to do some legalistic thing to get some religious check mark. Just go to the torch and read the scripture, but the verse that they put on the side of it. And they said they want to stir up fear. And we talked about that. And just don't be afraid. Christians have nothing to fear. But what I thought was pretty interesting that I didn't bring up in that program was that they did not divide people who proclaim the name of Jesus. They went to like three different denominations. Yeah. And they, I mean, you know, this denomination thinks they're right, and this one thinks that one's wrong, and this one's wrong. But when the devil came in and had his captive to spray paint, he spray painted anybody who lifts up the name of Jesus.
Jesus, that's it.
So if you're thinking you're a safe sin zone, that you can make a different Jesus, and you can walk contrary to the ways of God and contrary to the ways of the plain scriptures of God, and act like you're Christian, understand that you know, the devil's going to see you as a Nazarene. I mean, he's going to see you.
That's right.
And so you might as well be all in if you're going to be all out when it comes time for judgment seat, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so it's just make a clear decision for Jesus Christ. But I thought it was pretty interesting that... Mm-hmm.
They didn't discriminate.
Wouldn't that be a shame? No. You know, that you're serving a false perception of Jesus, another Jesus, as Paul said. Don't let anybody preach to you another Jesus, which means somebody can actually use Jesus' name, but then attach a whole other thing to him. Maybe an entire book. I don't know. 12-year-old visitation. With some Egyptian tablets and stuff. And then so you're just serving this whole life for this other Jesus. And so persecution comes, and you're just all bowed up, and you're just so happy. You're like, I'm going to suffer for the cause of Christ, but it's your perception of Jesus that you actually never served. Mm. You served another Jesus, right? And so all of a sudden you get an N spray painted on the front of your business or your house or something. And you're thinking any moment, if your life was taken, that you're going to be in the presence of God, and God's son's going to be very pleased. I mean, think about that. Just think about it. That would be the most horrific thing, the worst lie you could ever be told is a religious lie. Mm. Because you would have done all these things for another Jesus. It's very simple. You know, he says, if anybody adds to or takes away from the word of God, let him be accursed. So go to the Bible, read the Bible, and abide with the Lord and ask him, you know, to speak to you as you're reading the word of God. And if somebody else writes a book or has an encounter or whatever with God, it should line up with scripture. It should not take away from scripture. So you can always check things out with the plumb line of God's word. I mean, even when, obviously when we're talking, check it out with scripture, but even, you know, somebody you just highly admire that he or she, you know, is this man or woman of God that preaches scripture, and you listen for tones when they say, you know, I believe, or tones when they say, I feel strongly, or, you know, this is to me, this means what they're saying is it's not verified in scripture. So take it for that. Listen clearly to that. Don't all of a sudden make doctrine out of something that they feel. Appreciate them for being honest with you. Paul said this. He says, not the Lord, but I. And he separated those two things, and he said, this is how I feel about an issue. And we should do that instead of saying, like, I think John was talking about earlier program, talking about how many times did we say, you know, this is of God, and was it really of God? Yeah. And if people are misled by that, that's not good. And right now, I think there's a whole bunch of religion in America that, you know, men's feelings and leanings and preferences and comfortness. And I mean, the fact that we're, you know, most are robbing from God, is not giving to God what's his, is pretty much a sign of our heart. That despite the N being painted on all of our doors, I mean, is there a J on our heart for Jesus? I mean, do we know the Lord? So you need to know him. The biggest thing you want to do is, we're talking about this program today and the next following program about prudent preparation and being prepared. The biggest way to be prepared is truly make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, not the Lord of your parents' life, not the Lord of your pastor's life. You know, if in fact you were separated from your pastor or separated from a fellow believer that you strongly are connected to, well, that in your own heart, would that disconnect you from God? That means you're their follower. You're not a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. And they're doing you an injustice by not raising you up and telling you, no, you need to hear from God. You need to abide. And they need to walk up to you every single day and say, what's God saying to you? And the words you speak, if they are the proceeding words of God that he revealed to you, then that should hit that man or woman God hard to go, my goodness, you're hearing from the Lord. That was powerful. But if they never ask you, what are you hearing from God? If you're teaching a people and you've been teaching them for 10 years and they cannot answer that question, you know, you're not doing right.
Yeah.
You're just not doing right. Mm. Maybe they hired you for that. Maybe they'll fire you for expecting them to hear from God. That's called a promotion because you're going to be held accountable because you're supposed to make Jesus the Lord of their life. My sheep know my voice and they follow none other, not your voice. And they do hear the Lord through you. Yes. But at some point you should wean them where they don't, you're not in between them. We no longer need a man mediator. We have a Son of God mediator for us, you know, and he should talk to us. And he does talk. And I think about, you know, the word of God. He says, my word does not return to me void, but it accomplishes that what it set out to do. If you back up a little bit, he compares it to the rain. When the rain comes down, you know, it comes into the earth. The rain and the snow comes into the earth. It causes the earth to flourish. And in that, it produces seed and it produces bread. Seed for the sower and bread, you know, for the eater. And then he says, you know, that's just like my word. It doesn't return void. In other words, God's word in your life, that proceeding word should cause your life to flourish. It should cause your life to have seed and your life to have bread. You know, God, give us our daily bread. So I want to encourage you, the best way you can prepare for these pretty significant things we're about to share, you know, you just want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember, we're living for eternity. Paul said, if we're living for this life alone, we should be pitied more than anybody else. And if you are feeling pity with that kind of conversation that I'm having, the fact is you've been living for this life. And the longer you live, you find out, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
What was I thinking? All the money in the world, all the fame in the world. As a matter of fact, we're going to have this week, hopefully, or in a future program, we're going to have Phil with Duck Dynasty begin to talk about, you know, all the money in the world cannot buy your way out of the grave. You know, all the fame in the world cannot, you know, buy your salvation. And it's just amazing some things that we're going to be having. But also we're going to be talking about, you know, we're coming up on the 9/11 anniversary, the 13th year 9/11 anniversary. We need to pay attention because the whole world has been set up. We're in the middle of the four blood moons. We're approaching the second blood moon of the four. The whole stage has been set. It's like the stagehand named Alinsky has set this whole thing up. Factions in America did not respond the way I believe organizers would have wanted them to. Because we're so spoiled and we can't last long and it's hot out there. And besides, if you don't pay us, we don't show up. And besides, we got to eat in our cable package. But when you go over to northern Iraq and southern Syria, you're looking at 12,000 men that were willing to be organized by Lucifer. Just 12,000 are stirring the world up. And this is what you said. You've got to polarize folks before you can organize them so you can nudge them where you want to go. And the world is coming together in an order. But I say it's going to be a new world order. It's going to be totally different than before. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We usually quote our founding fathers on We the People, but today we're going to look at a man whose life was cut short as recently as 1968. The reason he's our focus for today is because his life demonstrates the impact that we can have as a church. He was a pastor that mobilized much of the country to bring light to social injustices. Imagine the impact the church could have today if we united, got out of the pews, and let our voices be heard. The pastor that is our focus for today shook America. His name is Martin Luther King Jr. Listen to these excerpts from some of his speeches. Now, there is a final reason that I think that Jesus says, love your enemies. It is this, that love has within it a redemptive power, and there is a power that eventually transforms individuals. That's why Jesus says, love your enemies. Because if you hate your enemies, you have no way to redeem and to transform your enemies. But if you love your enemies, you will discover that at the very root of love is the power of redemption. Those are powerful words. Love can redeem and transform. That's what the good news of the gospel is all about. And one more quote from Martin Luther King Jr. This is one that you might want to email to friends, maybe post online, include it in book reports or biographies. Send it to your city officials. This should be on the lead banner of every MLK parade because this is what his message was. Who today will follow Christ in his way and follow it so much that we will be able to do greater things even than he did because we will be able to bring about the peace of the world and mobilize hundreds and thousands of men to follow the way of Christ. That's not only something to think about, that's something to live by. Thanks for joining us on We the People.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
What can be done when an employer requires that you work on a Sunday? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for the Department of Transportation in California, and this year we're not being allowed to have a Sunday or Monday off.
Was there anybody that could, is there, in a situation where you've got worship, say, on Sunday, is there somebody else at your place of employment that can work for you?
Yes, sir, there is.
Well, if that's the case, where then they're supposed to give a reasonable accommodation of your sincerely held religious belief, including worshiping on Sunday. And let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we're going to give you some help on this situation right away because you should not have any difficulty in that regard.
The American Center for Law and Justice is here to defend our religious liberties. Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
We've been talking for some time, and it's not like entertainment, although, you know, we have moments that seem kind of entertaining a little bit. We try to kind of make it as light as we can, while it's actually the light of the gospel, because, you know, he tells us to rejoice always and pray continually, for this is God's will for us, so we can, you know, not be dreading what's taking place. But you can listen to the prophetic words. We have them available for you. You can get caught up on God. You can get discipled. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to The Torch. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. You can carry us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God said specifically in this whole journey, because this is a network that God is building through your prayers and your love gifts. I mean, our sponsors and our partners and all the prayers that have gone up has birthed what you're seeing, you know, a network now that's reaching around the world, television and radio. And it's because God said, I have some things I wanted to say. And this is happening all over the lands, obviously not just us, but he's raising up voices that just let us know. He says, listen, he says, you know, he commands us to go be the light of the world. We don't have an option. It just seems kind of new because very few people are doing it, but we all should be doing this. And if you're thinking, I just don't know how I can do it. You can do it by becoming a partner. You can do it by joining our sponsors who stand up and hang on the shingle of their business. I stand up for God and country in that order, and Israel. And by standing with us, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet gone and seen the teaching or the message on the promise, you need to get it because we've got to prepare ourselves. God's prepared us for it, but the thing is we didn't wait for the provision, the promise. We're not prepared for what's going on. And so make sure you can find out more at VFNTV.com. Of course, it's available to all of our partners out there. It's totally available for you there. Recently, a pastor, and you can see this on the VFN Torch, we're not going to put it up, but a pastor taught his congregation, I believe in Georgia, about persecution. He tried to explain the difference between persecution and temptation and how things have changed. And they banned, YouTube banned the video of the pastor's teaching. I mean, this is like your typical, you know, wooden pew. The podium is shaped the shape of a cross. It's a kind, gentle man just trying to explain reality, you know, and he's talking to them. You know, it's just, it's truth. It's true. I mean, it's truth. I mean, he sounds like he could be right here on VFN TV mm-hmm. and talking about, we stay informed what's going on. And he says, you know, this is persecution. He's explaining about putting ends on houses, you know, that represents Nazarene. And that's where you're supposed to go to kill them, convert them, or put them in servitude. And they actually took it off the air. YouTube took it off the air.
Wow.
Wow.
And it's like, what is going on? I think you're going to see some PC police start hitting, or they're going to say, well, when you teach about Jesus, people want to crucify you. When you teach about Jesus, people start hating on you, put ends on your house. And it's like, don't suppose he came to bring peace.
That's right.
You know, that, I mean, the reason Jesus said the reason why people hated him is because when he told them the truth, it identified that we had sin in we have sin in our life.
Right.
And they chose, and there's more to John chapter 3 than just 3:16. Mm. He said the verdict is in. He says they chose darkness. They liked that. And so they hated him for that. And so when you repeat the words of Jesus and mean it, you know, you're really wanting people to turn, even the most loving way you could present it, I mean, there's going to be some people that hate you because they love sin. And for you to keep on talking about this proves that I'm in rebellion in my marriage, right? Keep on talking. It just makes me feel terrible that I'm rebelling against my parents in my own house, right? You keep on talking like this, you make me, it's obvious that I'm doing the wrong thing as a politician in my community. If you talk about this, you know, it's just, they hate, they're driven by darkness. And the thing is, it's not your message. You know, my message would have been totally different, you know, totally different outside me knowing God. Now I know God is like, hey, there is no other message that's right. Every other message is wrong. And so anyway, he got pulled off of YouTube. You can see this entire teaching on VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com, go to the Torch and look for the pastor that got banned on YouTube. And they brought him back by now, but you're going to be shocked. This should shock you. Not that he got banned, the very fact of how light, I mean, this is like persecution light.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's real. He's talking about what's going on.
Right.
But that's the American version of, and he's trying to explain, no, that's temptation. This is persecution, you know. And he's back up now, so it's actually on YouTube. We'll have that available for you at VFNTV.com on the Torch. Well, just to tell you, we're coming up on the anniversary, 13th year anniversary, I believe, of 9/11. 9/11, for all of our people who have never heard about this before, was the year and time, the month and the day of the year 13 years ago that America was attacked by a handful of people who were loyal to radical forms of Islam. And the last words they cried out before they flew planes with our passengers and our citizens on them into the towers of 9/11 and to our Pentagon was Allah Akbar. Mm. The thing that somebody prays every single five times a day, you know, in a call to prayer for Islam. And with box cutters, they took over these airlines. A box cutter is something you open a box with a little small little razor blade. Well, now they have hundreds of millions of dollars, oil rigs, all the ammunition we gave, it seems, to Iraq to be able to fight. They took it all over. And right now, reports are that, according to, I believe it's the Blaze or the Washington, it is the Washington Free Beacon, that 13 in Libya, the same Benghazi situation that happened where we had Americans killed, it still has not been answered yet, and it's very strange. We sent three people with no help, and they got killed in there, our ambassador and several military, that very same area in Libya, that now 13 aircraft are missing. 13 passenger planes are missing. Wow. This is the anniversary of 9/11.
Wow.
And let me show you the CIA embassy area right here. This is what's taking place. This is what we're doing
in
Libya, not India. In Libya.
No, in yeah.
Yeah, in Libya. And what is, I mean, we look back in history and we would see Iran when our people were leaving the embassy in Iran, and they're climbing up the ladder to leave, or they're going down in certain countries, and you see us leaving. It's like it was a tragic thing. Today, it's like we're leaving everywhere. I mean, the word that John Paul Jackson gave about our nation is that God gave him to give is obviously being confirmed. We're being humbled as a nation, and don't even know. Only pride could keep you from being aware of how humbled we're being, which means we could repent at any moment and take that off road, as we talked about in yesterday's program. Make sure you get the off roads, as we talked about it, and I had Glenn Beck talking. But this is what's happening right now in the embassy area, right there where Benghazi and Libya. And see, yeah, take a look at this. This is Tripoli, Libya. You know, when you hear about what is taking place, and you hear even the songs of the Marines, you know, from the walls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. I mean, this is what's happening to our embassy, our CIA properties in Tripoli. Ooh. And if you look back at history, remember, we came, we're conquered, he's dead. Ha, ha, ha. That was at that time, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
That we are going to leave from behind, but we're going to send air support over to be able to bring this to pass. Understand, it's just like, I know it just seems weird, and I'm not saying this, I'm just saying what it looks like. It looks like, it's like, are you on our side? Are you on the side of America? Are you for us? You know, are you for God? And think about it is, and we're quick to go to break and come back and talk about this, but if you're not for God, you're not for America, because America was founded on the principles of God.
That's right.
And so the Constitution, the way God's designed, allowed us to be a part of it. It is one nation under God, indivisible, liberty. All of our rights come from God. So to deny him, America doesn't even work. Mm-hmm. So to be not for God, you're just not for America. And it takes people that are for God to be able to sustain America the way that she's been. And we just need the church to rise up, and she will live if we will. Back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Understand this, if you don't abide with the Lord, now is a time. Mm-hmm. Of all the times and all the history of this nation, now is the time to begin to abide.
No doubt.
While you have time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know how to do it, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. iabide.org. It's a simple plan. I mean, you can do it with a crayon and a piece of paper, but you need to, believe me, because any kind of hireling you might have been following is going to panic and run. He says, this is what Jesus said. When they see trouble, they panic and run because they never cared about the sheep in the first place. And if they don't know your name, you know what I'm saying? If y'all don't know each other, it may be the fact they don't not care about you. They don't even know who you are. Wow. You need to get someone who knows your name and get close. And that normally happens in the context of a smaller gathering. So if you're in a large gathering of believers, I encourage you, you know, start, in addition to that, you know, get in together in like a home group or something, or a small gathering, a coffee shop, and build vital relationships with a few other believers. And you can fundamentally transform who you are. And even that large gathering where everybody's in smaller groups. Because I remember in New Orleans, you know, when Hurricane Katrina hit, that these large gatherings scattered everywhere. And nobody knew anybody. You know what I'm saying? The database mm-hmm. has gone. It's wet.
Right.
You know, the computer don't work. Mm-hmm. They're in Houston. They're in Louisiana. They're in Mississippi. We were taking people in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And this is what what our friend said, Leo DeJesus, who lives right across the Mississippi there from New Orleans. He has an office that looks right over the Mississippi at the Superdome.
Yeah.
In his own.
Yeah, that's cool.
He saw some stuff. No, actually, that got built after Katrina. Mm. And although he did live there, but that kind of went away because he saw the river. But he said that when the hurricane hit, it scattered the church all over New Orleans. And she's still scattered today. She's still scattered today. And that's what happens because, see, if you had shepherds, you may be scattered, but eventually your shepherd is going to find you because they know you. Mm-hmm. They know who you are. I mean, unless you're avoiding and running and eluding them, you're going to find each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but he says they're still scattered today. And I'll give a big shout out to Leo Jesus and Sandy. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Sister Sandy and Brother Leo.
Yeah.
Great, great couple. She's like, get in, how did you know that? And we met her. She was working in a flower pot. And literally. Mm-hmm. And Ants, Vines, and Flower Pots is a real good book to be able to get from Charles Simpson to begin to really think about this. Listen, it is time to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. This present-day situation is being fundamentally transformed. I really believe it already has been. Now it's just a matter of flipping a few switches to be able to take it there. And but the church will survive if we understand how we're to operate. And if we need a manual, we got one. It's called the Bible.
Right.
It's the Bible. And it's called, we call it abiding with God, which is spending time with him, hiding his word in our heart, talking to God, listen to what he says, and just doing it.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Don't forget, we're going to be hearing soon from Congressman Michelle Bachmann as she's being interviewed by Glenn Beck on The Blaze. It's a powerful interview. It just happened less than 24 hours ago. And you're going to hear an update. ISIS is in America. But first, we're going to go to this interview on with Jay Tapper on CNN. His program is called The Lead. And this particular correspondent's talking about, as he's asking him, the big concern is, okay, that's what's happening in Somalia. Y'all just took out a leader over there of radical Islam. Why did it take so long? It takes a while to be able to build things up. But then he goes right into here and he says, but what about, the big concern is about America. And that's what we're going to talk about, that as we saw the graffiti just this last Sunday on the churches, we saw a flag. We've shown you all this. We showed you the flag in front of the White House. We've shown you the ISIS flag in front of the White House, the ISIS flag at the Ferguson, Missouri. And this is not the people in Ferguson doing this. This is just people that have this mindset hurtling around things
co-opting
and trying
things.
Co-opting it. And so listen to here as Jay Tapper asks this question to him, what about America? This is, you know, let's get back to our country. No, watch this. Listen up.
Turn of ISIS trying to strike here in the homeland, here in the United States, is a very serious concern. What are your sources telling you about any sort of cells of ISIS in the United States?
The people who collect tactical intelligence on the ground day to day, and this isn't Washington, but people collecting this stuff say they're here, ISIS is here, they're capable of striking. They don't know what their plans and intentions are, but it's a definite concern. I mean, Jake, I hate to bring up Boston, but that completely isn't resolved either. People collecting tactical intelligence are still looking for people that were complicitous in that attack.
When you say they're here, but U.S. intelligence doesn't know who they are or where they are, or they're watching them right now?
They're both. They think they've come across the Mexican border in some cases. Some are American citizens that have come back from Syria. They can't prove it. They're waiting to get enough intelligence to actually run them in. And then there's the unknown of how many people have come back they're not even aware of. But again, the people who do this for a living are very alarmed.
So you're looking right here. They're saying, you know, let's get back to our country a moment. What's happening here? And he's saying, yeah, they're saying they're here. They don't know. They can't supposedly. You track what you know. I remember the one particular Secretary of Defense. He says there's some known knowns, some known unknowns, and some unknown unknowns.
Donald Rumsfeld.
A man that never sat at his desk, and that's just honest. And that's what he just said. And it's not the things that you do know that you're concerned about. It's the things that you don't know. And what we do know as Christians is if we don't repent, it's just going to escalate. It's going to increase. This is a storm being fashioned in the world, even against America, that we have to rise up and say, you're right, Lord, we have sinned. This is the trumpet blast warning the church, going, we have to turn back to God fully, give our hearts to him. And God will deal with the enemy if we do that. He'll deal with them. And Congressman Michelle Bachmann, in this interview that we're about, you're about to see and hear, understands we owe so much to this woman. They say that she has a steel spine. I don't know how many children that she raised, and she's raised maybe 20 kids or something. I don't know. But she's a congresswoman. She's at least 4 foot, not. I mean, she's and she's a giant.
Yeah.
She's a giant. She stood, you know, steadfast in the nation, and just said, listen, the assistant for Secretary of State Hillary Clinton at that time is the daughter of one of the leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood. You should vet her. You should do a background check on her.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And they just attacked her. They attacked this particular representative of yours, ours, a Minnesotan representative for Congress. And everybody just sat back while she got attacked. And it's like all she did was saying, you know, let everybody go through the same process. This person could be against our country. Yeah. And guess what?
Hello.
Guess what? And now we're dealing with ISIS. ISIS, remember they removed, this is what Michelle Bachmann told us, Congressman Michelle Bachmann. Every mention of Islam as an enemy of America, radical Islam as an enemy, all these different forms of it, in the library of the CIA, FBI, and all those agencies, they had to remove every mention of it in our libraries. That's what she was telling us back then. And then here we are. It's come to pass. As a matter of fact, I want you to see right now, this is an interview less than 24 hours ago with Congressman Michelle Bachmann in Texas. Glenn Beck is interviewing her.
Michelle Bachmann is a congresswoman from Minnesota. She's been at the forefront of protecting our borders and speaking out. We were just having a conversation on the set about she's on intel, so she's never, ever told me anything. And it's so frustrating because she's always like, you're in trouble. Everybody's in trouble. They're like, what about what? And she's, and I just said, is ISIS what one of the things that you were trying to wake me up to years ago?
Well, we want to wake everybody in the United States up to, because this is a very real threat. You're right. This is a part of it, and it's really a part of Islamic supremacism, Islamic jihad. It's one more flavor. We hear about all the different efforts, whether it's Al-Qaeda, whether it's ISIS, whether it's Al-Nusra Front, you name it. There's a lot of different organizations, but it's all, at the end of the day, it's all the same thing. It's Islamic jihad. It's an effort to take over every part of the earth with what they call a caliphate, and the new caliph is Baghdadi. He is the guy who's the head of ISIS.
Okay.
He's designated a territory and himself as the leader.
Explain who he is, because this is critical that everybody knows.
Now,
we had him.
Yes, and this is what I would venture to say, most Americans have no idea that the United States had Baghdadi in prison. He was in prison in 2009. We had him in prison in Camp Buka in Iraq. He was in detention. The president's policy was to release all these guys out of detention. When we released Baghdadi from prison in 2009, his comment to the person who released him is that, I'll see you in New York.
I remember.
He issued a threat at the time. So he spent 2010 reforming and reconstituting what is now the Islamic State, IS.
This guy is a really smart,
very smart
PhD.
Guy. Very smart. He has a doctorate degree. He's about 43 years old. He's in the prime of life. He was the number three in Al-Qaeda of Iraq. The very first franchise of Al-Qaeda was in Iraq, and he was number three. We took out numbers one and two. He was the lead guy. And when the United States pulled all residual forces out of Iraq in 2011, this was his go time. This was his green light.
Why don't we have, honestly, a Chris Kyle over there now? Just shoot him.
Well, this is an opportunity. He needs to go. He needs to be targeted for elimination, and he has 12,000 soldiers. That's it. I mean, think of what we're fighting with. We are the United States of America, the military powerhouse of the world. We're looking at 12,000 terrorist fighters. This is something we can accomplish. And most
okay,
of these...
So help me on two things. First of all,
man, I'm tired of war.
Yeah, well, who isn't?
I know. I'm tired of war.
So
and I'm tired.
Defeat them right away. Get serious about it. Defeat them and be done with it instead of dragging this out.
But can we actually defeat these guys?
I mean,
we are.
Look at history. We've done it before.
The president said we
can't do it militarily. We have. They have been, at Tours, at the gates of Vienna. The Ottoman Empire in the 1920s, they have been defeated summarily before. But they have an ideology that tells them to reconstitute. But I will tell you, they won't be defeated by inviting them to a diplomacy table.
No, I know.
That isn't going to happen. So they've made a decision, Glenn. They're at war with us, and they're engaged in the war. It's like, think of a high school football game, and you've got one team, jerseys on, helmets on, the game's going. They've got the ball. They're going for the goal line. One team's on the field. I'm here to say, the other team hasn't even shown up yet. They're not on the field. That's us.
Okay.
We need to recognize what the threat is and address it head on.
Okay, a couple of quick things. Has anybody noticed that they're dressing us in the Guantanamo prisoner outfits? Will they're beheading? They're dressing us.
That's right.
I mean,
that's
they're
right.
sending
that's
that right. clear message.
And we had a horrible, horrible event with the beheading of James Foley and now Steve Sotloff.
Second
this
one.
Is real.
I know.
And so American journalists are being killed, and there's more hostages yet, Glenn. This is not the end. There are more American hostages. And just realize, anyone could be a victim of being a hostage.
I could spend 2 days with you on this. Let me ask you, and we're just going to run out of time, so let me ask you a couple of things. One, the NSA, we're now people, a guy from your state.
Two. Two from my state were the first Americans who were fighting for ISIS. I had gone earlier this year and asked the FBI, are there any Minnesotans that are over fighting with ISIS? It was classified information at the time. I couldn't reveal it. Now everyone knows. Yes, there were Minnesotans.
Why is it classified information? They're going over and fighting with ISIS.
And I had asked them, so if you have jihadists that are fighting, at that time these two hadn't been killed yet when I was asking about the information. So what I asked is, okay, once they're fighting with ISIS, what's going to happen if they try to return? And they said, well, they'll come into the country. And I said, are you kidding me? We are not going to prevent them from coming into the United States.
Is that changing? Is anybody doing anything on that?
Well, I asked my office to work with Ledge Council. We're going to introduce legislation. I am introducing legislation so that anyone with a U.S. passport who's gone to fight with ISIS or any of these jihadist groups, they're prevented from coming into the United States. In my opinion, they should lose their American citizenship. Because at that point, you have turned against the United States. ISIS has declared the United States
enemy
is their enemy.
Yeah.
Once you join an enemy army, if you've joined the Nazis,
correct,
you've joined an enemy army, you should, by definition, lose your American citizenship, therefore your passport. You should have no ability to get back into the United States.
Last thing is we have the southern border is wide open.
Yeah,
I've been hearing in my head, northern border, northern border, northern border. We're not watching either of them.
Oh, no, we're not. 6 weeks ago, I went with another colleague from Boca Chica in a pickup truck all the way to Laredo. And I thought I knew a lot about this subject. And I hate to say this, but we have an absolutely open border. I thought Border Patrol stops foreign nationals from coming in. They don't. They're a people processing pipeline. It's not their fault. It's the politicians' fault because the politicians won't let them stop the border.
We don't need any new legislation.
We just have to enforce
the law.
That's right. As a matter of fact, when I was in Laredo, they told me so far this year, 5,800 Cubans had come across the border just at Laredo. They told me people from 142 nations are coming in, and it's easy. They buy a plane ticket to Mexico. They make their way to the Rio Grande. Across they come. I have video footage watching an illegal alien come across while the Border Patrol is watching them. A pregnant woman came across in a raft by MS-13, the International Criminal Cartel. And we are product fulfillment, by the way, in our government for the International Criminal Cartel. And she was the decoy, and four guys came behind her with marijuana that they were smuggling. We are a completely open border, so let's face it. If you're ISIS and you want to come against the United States, You've got the southern border, and you've got American passports. This is a first where you have over 100 American passports that have the potential of coming into the United States and wrecking havoc in the United States.
Hey, I don't know if you're in town tomorrow, but I'd love to have you on radio tomorrow, even if you're out of town. Yeah,
you're listening and watching Congressman Michelle Bachmann being interviewed on The Blaze. Powerful, powerful statements. And we're going to be back in a moment. But listen, she said this, that our people on the borders, it's not their fault, it's the politicians' fault, the leaders in Washington, D.C., that they are product fulfillment for the international cartel. That we've placed our officers in a place on the border that they are the product fulfillment for the international illegal drug cartel.
MS-13.
And it makes me think about exactly, they've been organizing this whole thing, it looks like, and you're going to hear former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, we get back when you start putting all this together in just a moment, what happened in Libya and how this all connects. Back in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
We had our Bojangles moment right there. The chicken was good. It's got a little bit of spice to it, not enough for Pat, but it's got good flavor to it, and it was so juicy.
Well, I've got a good chicken place. Next time you come visit, I've got the place.
Your food is so good up there. Oh, my goodness. I wish there was a way that you could just which one?
There's this place. I don't even know the name. It's a Chinese restaurant. And they stay so full. Actually, Eddie turned me on to this place. But you got to wait like 25 minutes every time you go to order your food. And, it is so, I mean, I'm sure it's not healthy for you. You know what I'm saying? But it is so delicious.
What's the place that you and I went to where they brought over like a whole cow? And they kept on bringing nonstop meat. And you kept on, give them more. What was that?
Oh, that was in the Ironbound. We went to, that's Ironbound in New York. What was that?
No, it was Jersey. It was Jersey.
Yeah, it's Newark.
Oh, Newark. Oh, no, okay. Yeah,
Ironbound in Newark. It was a Portuguese restaurant. What do they call that? It's slipping my mind.
There's the P. It's called
Endless Meat. What do they call that?
Gluttony. kept on bringing. Go ahead. Tell them.
Greg gets off the plane. So the first thing says, let's take you out to eat. So we take him down to the Ironbound in Newark, Portuguese restaurant. And this area is awesome because they all have the same type of restaurants. You go in there, you order your food, and Pat, get this. It's unlimited meat.
Unlimited meat.
So they'll come around and they'll bring you these sausages, the chicken, and they bring you the filet mignon. It's and you know what? I mean, I saw a big smile on Greg's. I even have a picture. Man, big smile on his face.
Oh, let's show that picture.
Oh my goodness! Was it before or after?
Well, he kept on going, moi, or something. I don't know.
Oh, I kept bringing them over, but that was good food.
It was like the whole shish kebab. It was like a 4-foot shish kebab.
Oh my god!
You know, and they'd come over there, and one of them was like a beef one, and one was a chicken one. One was
like sausage.
Which was, you know, I was like, don't waste your time on that.
Yeah, right.
Get me. You had to work. They made you earn the filet mignon.
Yeah. Like, don't bring me any more sausages. Okay. Bring me the filet mignon.
And Isaiah's looking at me like with a grilled cheese sandwich. Why are you getting all that meat? I was like, take it, Isaiah, please. Take it.
We definitely got some food here. I'll tell you that much.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'll see you in New York. I will see you in New York. That's the final words that the present leader of ISIS, this Islamic State, that you're watching on your news, you're watching on VFN TV, that's the words that he said when our president released him and others who were in prison, but our soldiers captured him. Listen, thank you to all of our soldiers who laid down your time, your risk, your life. Many of you gave your life. Today you're walking around and you're wounded, and I just pray that VA will get their act together and,
yes,
and be there for you. I mean, it's the biggest. I can't imagine why we ever think that that's an A1 priority for us to take care of you. But you did the job right. And then our present leadership released this man who was heading up this, and for 4 years, reportedly, they've been planning it ever since he came out of that Abu Ghraib, whatever it is, you know, prison there. And he said, I'll see you in New York. If anything, you know, New York, you should be concerned. You should be gravely concerned. I mean, the darkness, the cloud that's trying to come over you, and the target that reportedly that ISIS and these leaders of ISIS say about New York. And then read, you know, New York, is it the spiritual Babylon? Go ahead and watch that or listen to that on the VFN Torch. Begin to ask you questions. Like, it could be, but of all the things, Congressman Michelle Bachmann saying, these are the last words he says. He's talking about he's in the prime of his life. He's putting himself ahead of the caliphate. And this guy's lifting himself up and saying, you know, I'm the one in charge.
The caliph. They call the caliph? Caliph? The caliph.
Is it?
That's what they call him. He's the caliph.
Oh, the caliph to the caliphate?
Yeah. The leader. He's the leader.
So, but he's lifting it. That's what, so he's saying that. But he, understand, we had this guy captive. And now, people are asking questions. Do you have a plan to take this guy down? Do you have a plan to capture him? And the very one who released them are going like, no, I don't have a strategy yet, but we're working on it. And it can't help. You can't help but think about the rules for radicals and how things work. You got to have somebody who's stirring stuff up to cause people to begin to polarize and come together under your new way of doing things. And then you can nudge them where you want to go, and then you can depolarize. In other words, you have to have this adjutant. And you can go to VFNTV.com, go to the VFN Torch, the drop down, the series. It says, Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, and it's a whole series on it. We're looking at the dark side and the light side. What does God say? How should we respond to this? And we need to have a God response to this very dark cloud. We need to understand it. So we're looking at the world's being organized. It's being, I mean, you think about it. Why wouldn't they have just pulled the financial economy out from Putin when he starts threatening the Ukraine? It's because the people who are running the money don't want to pull the financial rug out from under Putin. They're strategically gradually letting down things easily, as George Soros reportedly said, and you can see him saying it on the VFN Torch. Who is the financial advisor, reports are, for former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Who, by the way, you're about to see, this is what she said when she was Secretary of State about the killing of Gaddafi, the leader of, now Libya is in chaos, but look what happened right here. This is what she said.
Yes, we came, we saw, he died. Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
So you're looking at right here, this is in Libya, and you know, this is the ramifications of, we come, we saw, he died. The leader now is dead. And this is the embassy. This is not the embassy, but this is the CIA headquarters there in Tripoli. And it's amazing what's taking place, but nobody's even putting two and two together. It's like we're turning the whole world over to this taking place. I'm like, look, this is what's taking place. And hear what she said again after this.
We came, we saw, he died. Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
This is wild. The most traveled Secretary of State reportedly in, I don't know, forever. I don't know the details on that, but it's reported very highly traveled around the world. It's almost like while her fellow mentored student of Saul Alinsky, not President Obama, then he was just Barack Obama, and she was mentored by Saul Alinsky, were selected before they were elected. And it's like, this is the next person, probably, I would assume, in line for their plans as they're organizing the world. And it's like, but the problem is about it with Christians. Look what happens to Christians when this whole thing comes in. They put Nazarene on the door. They make him go into servitude. They behead the Christian. They behead the Jew. We have to wake up. Listen, there's a chance for America. If we wake up and turn from our wicked ways and say, dear Lord, we see what's going on. We see the storm being fashioned. Lord, forgive us for our sins. God, we see this on the horizon. We see what's going on, and we know that you will deal with our enemy. We need to position ourselves like Jehoshaphat did. Go, all of our partners, go down there and watch this. Listen to it. You've got to position ourselves to receive from God, and he'll give us a plan to be able to how to respond to this. Our current president is saying he don't have a plan. You may have one, but that's what's being said. And the truth is, God has a plan. We just got to hear as a church, what is your plan for us? How do you want us to respond to this? You cannot defeat darkness with darkness. Only light will do that. And you cannot defeat hate with hate. Only love will do that, as Dr. King said.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video
on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.